Let's turn our Bible to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans is a wonderful book. I was looking at it. I was looking at it yesterday. I got to reading the book of Romans and couldn't quit. It's got 16 chapters. I never did get tired of it. Praise the Lord. It's a great book. There's more theology in this book probably than any other. Anyway, a lot of good things in Romans. Praise the Lord. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, let's notice the word of God together. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 3, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died once to sin for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves better, consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, that you open our heart and our understanding to the truth of Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll just title the message today, Dead to Sin, Alive to God. You don't want the word dead in anywhere unless you got alive following it. So, some churches are alive, some need to be alive. Is that a nice way to say it? Anyway, but the statement that Paul makes here to the church in Romans, how shall we say then, or what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What a question. In other words, if we've got grace and we're covered by grace, does that give us the license just to go on and live in a life of sin? Certainly not. Verse 2, he answers his question. And so to continue in sin is not what you want to do. Amen. It's not just the way I grew up, but the way it was preached when I was growing up was when you got saved, you abandoned all the former lifestyle, and it was just, you don't go there anymore. You don't live that way anymore. You don't go to the same places you used to go to. You're not entertained by the same things you used to be entertained by. Amen. As a matter of fact, you don't keep the same company you used to keep. It doesn't mean that you hate your friends from then on. It's just that you mean you want all your lost friends to be saved, and you'd witness to them. But not to continue in sin. Because you see, when you're born again, you become a spiritually alive. Your spirit man is dead until you're saved. And when you're saved, you're birthed, born again of God's Spirit, and you become alive spiritually. And so, what shall we continue in sin? There's some people in the Bible that did continue in sin, and it bothers me. You say, why does it bother me? It should bother us if people are continuing in sin. It bothers me. That's the reason I preach. That's the reason we witness. That's the reason we send missionaries across the world, because people will be lost if they're not saved. And there's one particular convert of the Apostle Paul that has bothered me, and I don't understand why, but a man named Demas was saved under Paul's ministry, even was in ministry with Paul, but some way or another, he lost it. He went back to the world. In 2 Timothy 4:10 it says, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I pray that he repented and got back right with God, but I don't know that he did. But it shows that he, after having been saved, he returned to the present world system of sin. And having loved this present world, and the Bible tells us, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so nothing could be more plain that you can stray from God if you're once saved, but if you return to a life of sin, you can be lost. Amen. And so Demas was one that returned to sin. Hopefully he returned and repented later on. We don't know that. If we look at the Old Testament, we find that there was a man that was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a tall fellow. His name was Saul, and he became the first king of Israel, King Saul. And he had everything going for him. God put his spirit upon him. As a matter of fact, God enabled him. He even went into the where the sons of the prophets were, and they were being taught in a prophetic school. And the Bible says that Saul prophesied among the prophets. And many said, is Saul also among the prophets? Became a proverb. But King Saul did not remain faithful to God. He pursued disobedience of God. And after a while, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Let me tell you something, friend. The Spirit of, you can be birthed, born again of the Spirit, and even baptized in the Spirit. But if you can turn away from God, the Spirit of God can depart from you, where you're no longer walking with God. Should we be fearful of that? No. If you made the decision to walk with the Lord, Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And so Saul made the choice to be continually disobedient to God until he didn't have God with him anymore. Judas was another one of the 12 disciples who had seen all the miracles and the power of God. How could anyone backslide when they had seen all that Jesus did if they'd walked with him 3 years in earthly ministry, see him heal the sick and raise the dead, and make lame people to walk again, make crooked limbs straight again? Amen. Maybe made crooked people straight again if they were crooked in sin. Did that too. How could anybody backslide when they had seen all of that? But yet Judas, for the love of money — it's not money that's the root of all evil, it's the love of it — he betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And he turned away from God. And after a while, he went and hung himself. How could it happen? Because people begin to listen to the wrong voice. But it says here, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Answer is no, you shouldn't. What reason is there to pursue things that bring spiritual death? There's no good reason. Galatians 6 and 3 says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Because you see, all that sin has to offer is eternal separation from God. You do not want to be eternally separated from God, ever. You don't want to be temporarily separated from God. You want God all the time. You need him all the time. I've never woke up one day and thought, well, God, I just don't really need you today. I do need God every day. I need God right now. So do you. And we know in the book of Galatians, it tells us there that the things that God is — can you think about this just a moment? Eternal separation from God. Let me tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is not the fruit of anything but of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is long-suffering. It is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of God, for God is the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. They come from God. They cannot come from anywhere else. The devil has never given peace, love, and hope and safety to anybody that's ever lived for him. There may be temporary things that people think can bring you peace and joy for the moment. Everything, this society's got appeal for everything. Appeal to pick you up, appeal to put you down. And if they got something nobody knows about, they'll invent one for that too. Figure out a name to call it so they can sell it. But the fruit of the Spirit is what we need. We want love, we want joy, we want peace, we want hope, we want happiness, we want God to be the center of our life. Shall we continue in sin? Why? Because you have no peace, you have no hope, you have no love, you have no eternal salvation, or you have no eternal destiny if you follow the works of the flesh. Because none of that will be in, none of love, joy, none of that will be in hell. That'll all be in heaven, because that's where God is, and that, and it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, who is God. Amen. Certainly not. And when it comes to sin, if you're a Christian, you can't live to something you died to. And we're supposed to die to sin. Amen. We can't live to something we died to. For example, if playing with a poisonous snake almost cost you your life, common sense would tell you, don't play with the snake anymore. If playing with fire and gasoline together threatened your life, common sense says don't play with it. It was a few years ago, I was at a gas station. I was pumping gas into my vehicle, and the man at the next pump was pumping gas. I don't know if I can illustrate this or not. I'll try. But he was pumping gas in his gas tank with a cigarette, lit cigarette hanging out there. And I was trying to be Christian and be nice, you know. I said, sir, you're going to blow this place up if that cigarette ignites that gasoline you're pumping in. And he said, oh, well. He didn't think anything about it. I went and told the manager. And the manager told him to put it out. But you see, you don't play with things that are capable of destroying you. And sin is capable of destroying you. But God is so much more capable of giving you hope and love and life. And God didn't come here to bring us death or spiritual death. Jesus came to give life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And in Christ, we died to the pursuit of those things which produce spiritual death. My friend, we're not here to die. We're here to live for God and to serve God. Yes, physical death will come, but in eternity, as you pass from this physical life, your spirit and man is immediately in the presence of Jesus. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, shall we continue in sin? No. Dead to sin, alive to God. Second part of this, we were baptized into Christ. This is not necessarily speaking about water baptism, even though it's related to that sometimes. In verse 3, it says there, do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? That means that we are, when we come to Christ, Jesus died for our sins. And so we're baptized, immersed in Christ, who is life, to die from our sins. Amen. Or put our sins away. And so he died for our sins and paid the penalty for sin, which is death. And with his blood, he atoned for the sins of all mankind, every sin that would ever be committed. Amen. And the ones that we commit, we can assure that there is no other atonement that can be made. There is no other sacrifice that can ever be made but Christ's sacrifice. Jesus is not going to come and die again and suffer again for our sins. He suffered once. Once for all. And that's what he meant to do. To put away our sins forever. And I'm glad that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad that he's dealt with our sins in the most powerful way, that when you come to Christ, you give your life to him, he's buried your sins in the depths of the sea. Praise God, scripture that says that. Man. And so we were baptized into Christ. Matter of fact, we identified Christ in his righteous life, and we made the decision to live right, to walk right, and to live our lives by his teachings and his direction and his Holy Spirit. And we died to a life of sin when we were saved. And the word buried is a good word. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. That's pretty strong. Amen. And we say, well, we were buried, our sins were buried, but they can live again. Yeah, if you bring them to life, they will, but we're supposed to have buried our old life. Dead to sin, alive to God. When something dies, you usually bury it. And the old life of sin, the pursuit of sin, How why would we want to bring something back to life that never satisfied in the first place? That's one thing that's very difficult about backsliding that I don't understand. You know, people backslide and turn away from God as if what they did before they were saved is going to make them happy now, when it drove them to the need for Christ to start with. Amen. Sin never satisfied. It never did enough. It never could help the person. Amen. It just drove them down further and further. They became in bondage to things they couldn't get free of until they were saved, and God saved them and delivered. So why would I go back to what kept me in bondage before I was saved? That's because sin needs to be buried. We are buried with Him through baptism into death. Now, Jesus never sinned, but this is application here. Our sins are to be buried. And the Apostle Paul, once a persecutor of the church, and when he was a persecutor of the church, he was a Pharisee, and once religious man, very religious man. As a matter of fact, when it came to society, he was in the top 10, suppose, so to speak, probably the top one as a Pharisee. He was number one Pharisee. I want to tell you, he had it made. Many of his contemporaries, they looked up to him because he had such knowledge of Old Testament scriptures. He could tell you what was right and wrong. He could tell you a whole lot of things, but he wasn't right with God. And there's a lot of people today that can tell you the Ten Commandments. I worked with a man one time. I asked him, are you ready to meet God? Are you saved? He came to that place where I could talk to him. He said, oh yeah, I keep the commandments. I said, yeah, really. I didn't say that. I said it this morning. But I got a name. But I'm working with him a little while. I could name you five or six that he didn't keep, you know, at least one or two. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The word sin means to break God's law. Everybody's broken God's law and needs to be saved. Okay? But the Apostle Paul here, as he was persecuting the church on Damascus Road one day, a light shone from heaven, shone round about him. And a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you, Lord? And the voice said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. If that wasn't revelation, there's not such a thing as a revelation. God speaking to him audibly. He is a lost, he's a religious man, but he is a lost man, like many today. But Saul of Tarsus became Paul. He died and buried his old life. He would never return to his old life again. Even though it was a religious life, it was not a saved life. It was not a Christ life. He was bound by legalisms, and he was completely lost. But when he came to Jesus, he gave his life to Jesus. He made the choice to die to sin and to keep living for God. As a matter of fact, he would tell the church at Galatia, he said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, Ten Commandments, then Christ died in vain. He was realized that he did not live perfectly up to the Ten Commandments, and Christ is the only one that ever did, and that he must have Christ in order to be accepted by God and to be completely forgiven. Amen. Never to live again, buried. But this is where many people stray. What never met spiritual need never will. It has to be buried. And there needs to be a burial service in some people's lives. Maybe yours, maybe mine. There are just some things we've held on to for a long time that's never given us any peace, hope, or happiness. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. We've got confusion. We got discouraged. We got lived in despair and depression all the time. This is because of certain things we did in the past. Do we think bringing those things back up again is going to give a life or make us happy? They won't. Man, it has to be buried. When you come to Christ, you say, I'm going to bury that grudge I held against brother or sister so-and-so for 20 years. Or I'm going to bury that last argument I had with my companion. Hello. Or I'm going to bury the sin that I've held on to that I knew that I should have let go of. This old habit I've got, I'm going to lay it down. I know God's not pleased with it. I'm going to give it up. I'm going to bury this thing. I know a guy that did that really, literally. He wanted a convert in my church in El Dorado. He and his friend were driving around. He took his friend to the graveyard. Yeah. And his name was Manuel. By the way, Manuel's Hispanic name. You know, manual labor is not a Hispanic evangelist. America needs to know that. Anyway, but they went to the graveyard. He said, Manuel, why are you going here? He said, I got to bury something. He got to went out by a tombstone, took his shovel and dug a hole, took his pack of cigarettes and buried his cigarettes right there. And Manuel doesn't smoke to this day. And that's just a minor thing. But it wasn't minor to him because he knew that God wasn't pleased with it. And so there's some things we just need to bury. I'm not telling you to literally go out and do that. But things that come into our hearts that just want to stay there and don't want to be put to death, but things that you just need to bury. Amen. Bury your past. And don't continue to feel guilty of mistakes that you made 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. If you've asked God to forgive you, He has forgiven you. And you're cleared and you're free and you're declared not guilty when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here we find that verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. And I know this is not talking about water baptism, but I use this a lot of times in water baptism because it does have a great symbolism. Because when a person is baptized in water, they go down, symbolizing they're burying their old life. And they're coming up with the testimony I'm going to live from God from here on out. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Amen. Because you see, salvation is spiritual resurrection. There was a woman that Jesus talked with in Samaria. She was coming by the well, and Jesus asked her for a drink, and it was very much a thing that Jews and Samaritans didn't talk to each other. They just didn't have any conversation. There was a lot of prejudice there. They weren't the same race, and they didn't agree, and they didn't even speak to each other, especially a man to a woman. And Jesus begins to talk with this woman at the well and said, would you give me a drink? She said, you, being a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? You got to be kidding. That part, you got to be kidding. That's not in Scripture. But anyway, he asked her for a drink. And she gave him a drink. And Jesus said, if you only knew the water that I could give you, that you would never thirst again. And she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And then as Jesus begins to talk with her about the natural and the spiritual water, that eventually she caught on. And she said, and Jesus said to her, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, I know it. You've had five husbands, and the one you got now is not your husband. Because you've spoken truly. And we know that salvation eventually came to that woman and many people in that Samaritan community because they began to see Christ as the living water, and by faith they partook of him, and they began to proclaim it all over town. And they said, is this not the Christ that was prophesied in the Old Testament? And Jesus was the Christ. He stayed there 2 days and preached to them. Amen. Many people were saved. Many people believed on him. That's what God can do. Amen. They were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though, so that we should walk in newness of life. They were dead, but they were raised spiritually. Praise God. Let's talk about raised for just a moment. Salvation is a spiritual resurrection. And because Christ took our place at the cross, and he died in our place that we should have died, and we should have paid for our sins, but he, by grace, and that's what grace is, the favor of God, he gave us, offered us life, alternative life instead of death. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, an offering for sin, not sin. Jesus never sinned. He's made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so when you're saved by the grace of God, the righteousness of Christ is applied to you, and God sees you for the perfection and the righteousness of his son, Jesus. I don't want God in heaven to see me any other way but except through his son. And if God sees us through his son, then you're a child of God. You belong to Him. Amen. His perfect righteousness cleanses you and makes you heaven ready, heaven acceptable, eternally in the presence of God. I want to tell you, this righteousness that we have in our own is like filthy rags, but when by faith we take on the righteousness of Christ, I want to tell you, you're completely pure before God. You're accepted by God. You've been given a place in heaven. Your name is inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. Raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And so we can walk in newness of life because we're not beaten down, we're not depressed, we're not rejected anymore, we're received. Christ has received us. Last of all, from slaves to servants, slaves to sin to servants of righteousness. We look at the word slave and we don't like the word slave because in the American sense it always goes back to, you know, the slave thing in America many years ago. To us, slavery means cruel bondage to someone who has no feeling or compassion for another. And that kind of slavery describes being a slave to sin and Satan, because he has no mercy, he has no love, he has no good plans for you whatsoever. The devil has nothing good ever. He's not good. He can't be good. He won't ever be good. He's a liar and the father of lies. I just want to tell you something. Let me just inform you. The devil is not... has nothing good for you. Don't even consider or think about it, going to let him be your master, because he only wants you in hell suffering forever and paying for your sins when Jesus paid for it on the cross and offered you the gift of salvation. And so the devil has no compassion, love, or good plans, only evil. That's what he is. That's all he can be, is evil. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, that means when we come to Christ, Christ died for our sins, and therefore we make the choice to die to a life of sin, pursuit of sin. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Wow. Praise the Lord. Likeness of His death, amen, but the likeness of His resurrection. I like the likeness of His resurrection better. Amen. The likeness of His resurrection. He was risen again on the third day. Death couldn't hold Him in the grave. I want to tell you, they saw the grave clothes there, that they were empty. The tomb was empty. Jesus was resurrected from the dead and has the authority to give eternal life to everyone. That's the reason we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear that day when it will come upon us, that we'll have to die and that we will be somewhere in a hospital room, and slowly the death life passes from us and we're in pain. Perhaps we're dying from some disease or something in our life, or some wreck, or some accident whatsoever. But when we come to Jesus, when you have Jesus in your heart, you say, Lord, I know it's my time has come. I'm going to depart from this physical body, but because You not only died for my sins, but You rose again from the dead, I've got life, eternal life waiting on me. I'm ready to go. Lord Jesus, would You take me on? I can die in hope. Know it. Yes, it may be painful. Physically, it will be. But spiritually, you're ready to meet God. Praise the Lord. The likeness of His resurrection. Praise God. Because our sins were paid for on the cross, and therefore we don't have to fear death. We can look forward to death. No, nobody looks forward to the physical suffering of death. The process of dying. Nobody wants to think about that. But we have become not, we're no longer slaves to sin, but we have become servants of righteousness. It says here, servants, slaves of righteousness in verse 18. But to mean the same, the word means the same thing. Slave and servant here in this passage. Servants of righteousness, we serve the Lord. Amen. Free from the slavery of sin, we've got news, good news. We've got a message to tell people. We've got something that everybody needs and everybody can have. And we're to live for Him, to live with Him. Christ died once, never to die again, once paid for all. And it's comforting me to think about this. When Jesus returns, they will never nail my precious Lord to a cross. They will never beat Him till organs come out of His body from the gross whipping post in Roman execution. They will never say unkind or foolish words or discouraging words to my Savior ever again. Amen. He'll never suffer again for my sins. He suffered once for all. He poured out his soul unto death on Calvary. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. That's the reason he went there. But he'll never suffer again. He paid the payment once for all, my friend. He's there, and his payment is made. And you can be free, and you can be declared not guilty, and you can be on your way to heaven, and you can shout for joy because the Lord God omnipotent reigneth forevermore. Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive and well and true and real and wants to be personally acquainted with you and personally be your Savior and give you peace. Hallelujah. So we consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Friend, it's coming a day when the trumpet of Almighty God will sound and God will say, "Son, go get my children and bring them home." It's the Lord. And Jesus might say right now, "Yes, son, right now." Amen. The heavens will unfold. Amen. And the Son of Man will return and catch his church away, his children, called the rapture of the church. Dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort. Why? Because that's our eternal hope. There is no worry, fear, or doubt, only comfort in the coming of the Lord when you're saved. We just got to be ready to meet God. Dead to sin, but alive to God. Amen.